What's up, everybody? It's Danny Green here, back with more Inside the Green Room. My co-host Harrison Sanford, brought to you by Jack in the Box. We got a new episode coming for you guys.
That is a very humble introduction. You should have said, welcome back to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green, three-time champion.
Nah, I don't toot my own horn, bro. I let other people celebrate me. Let's celebrate us.
Yeah.
But I'll be a part of celebration. But yeah, no, I'm going to celebrate everybody else and then let everybody else celebrate the win. So, you know.
Has it sunk in yet?
No. Obviously not, because I'm not even thinking about it as I'm introducing myself.
Yeah.
I should have been like, you know, back to the, you know, national, you know, NBA champions, Lakers 2020, pandemic, you know, crazy-ass year.
But you just opened it up like it was a regular-ass show.
It's a regular-ass show, bro.
We're actually back in the Spectrum Sportsnet studios for this finals edition of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Just because you said that you hasn't really sunk in yet, we're going to cue up some video.
Okay. Yeah, AD. Just a champ right there. First time, we got Pops in the locker room. Frankie V, Frank the Tank. Yep, I got the two bottles in my hand, I was double fisting. But JR got the shirt off, you know JR. That's the first wave right there. When they first started, before they played the music, and when everybody finally entered the locker room, I think it was when Bron AD came up doing their interviews. But yeah, man, good times, crazy stuff. Bottles going everywhere, JR got the shirt off before we even ended the game. But, yeah, man, a lot of fun, hell of a time. Guys made sure they got their goggles first. Bron was like, don't spray me until I get my goggles on. And you want champagne in the eyes. So everybody got their goggles on, and once we got it, we did it maturely as adults at the same time.
Good to see it. It makes me reflect on the times that we were here in the studio before the pandemic started, and we had Dwight Howard here, and he talked about how much it would mean to bring a title to LA. We had Jared Dudley looking for his first title. We had KCP, who was very transparent about the emotional up and downs that he had dealing with the Laker fan base when he wasn't playing well. Mm-hmm. And now to see video of them celebrating that moment. I know for you, you've already won two, so now it's about your teammates and letting them have that same joy that you've had two times in your career.
For sure. It definitely is about them and it's about the city. Obviously, the resume is cool and all. I don't really care about my resume and everything. Obviously, I would love to win. I would love to have more rings and et cetera. But I always love to leave a mark, not just for myself, but for my teammates and on a city. So impact the city and leave an impression on the city, you know, that I could try to do something special and reciprocate the same energy and love and support that they have all year. And alongside some guys, a group of guys, amazing group of guys that I have a high level of respect for, that I played against for so many years, we got a chance to do it together as a group and have a lot of fun, man. So it was special to be able to leave a mark and an impact and cement ourselves in history in a city that we all love and respect and said love our fans here.
You know, when we talked about this earlier this season, you mentioned that this is some of the best team chemistry that you've had in your career. And you know how I am already. I'm like, oh, Danny, this is so cliche.
Of course, always the same and same.
But in this season, chemistry is very important because of being in the bubble and things of that nature. And you could see it there in the celebrations. I'm sure celebrating those moments because of the team chemistry that you guys had, it must have been a once-in-a-lifetime type of experience.
For sure, for sure. And I think at times it was tough for us throughout the year, the chemistry. Because we're so good, it was a advantage and a disadvantage at times. Because we have so many good players, we don't have enough minutes. We don't have enough basketballs to shoot. We're so deep. We have so many great, you know, weapons. But at the same time, so many of those great weapons, we've been in the league so much, we have great minds that are able to figure it out. Having a group like that, the chemistry, the minds, the experience, you know, only a matter of time before we made it work and, you know, got it to click. And big shout out to all the guys. Everybody played an important part. You know, even our bigs. Big shout out to our bigs that some nights they knew they weren't going to play. Some nights they're going to play in limited minutes. But JaVale and Dwight, they came the same energy every night, cheering us on, blocking shots, whether they played or not. And they were a big part of our team. Even the guys that didn't play as much. Duds, who was a genius behind the scenes of seeing how we need to attack certain teams offensively, defensively. QC, Quinn, our rookies, our young guys, our guys on the sidelines. Said a lot of guys that didn't expect to have an impact did, that didn't play as much.
I felt like JR was standing for every game.
Oh, for
sure. For every minute of the game.
Oh, that energy was unmatched, man. That guy was in the game. He was our number one hype man on the sideline. Him, Dwight, and JaVale, of course, but he's front and center, yelling at us, making sure we hear him, making sure offensively we're encouraged, defensively we talk, he sees what's going on. Him just doing that to birth that energy. And being in a bubble without fans, you need that.
somebody suggested to me when you guys were on the brink of winning Game 6, winning the NBA title, that Frank Vogel should have elected to put you on the court on in one wing and JR on the other wing and let you guys shoot it out.
Shoot it out.
For you guys who don't know, Danny tied... Danny's now tied with J.R. Smith for most three-point makes in the NBA Finals. So it would have... nobody's going to do that. Frank Vogel's not going to play like that. But it would have been fun to see. I'm sure you and J.R. talked about where you guys are now being tied.
We haven't spoken about it, but I just wanted to see everybody play. I wanted everybody to get on the court. I wanted to, you know, Dwight got a three-pointer in. I wanted JaVale, Duds, QC, even our rookie. I think Talen might have been active at the time. Wanted to get him on the court. I just want to see those guys play. I hopefully get a chance to go back again.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to, it would have been fun to have a shootout with all our shooters, you know, just get a chance to get out there and just have a lot of fun and you know, put up some threes.
Game five, you missed a shot that could have won the series. I'm assuming you've thought about that moment even after you've won the title.
Some, not as much, because all that matters is winning. We got the job, and obviously, we're our big, people criticize us all the time, but I think we're our biggest critics to ourselves. And we always want to be perfect. We want to play the right way in the perfect game. So even when we do make mistakes, even if it was in the last game, I was thinking about the last game, what I could have did better. But even before that game, you know, the mistakes I made, things I want to get better at. So we always think about those things. But when it happened, it didn't waver me. I didn't think about it. I was like, you know, it's a shot. It's one shot. I've made some good shots. I knew we would bounce back. But yeah, I think about it here and there, but not as much as a shot like when we lost in 2013. You know, that doesn't sit as hard or sit with me as badly. Obviously, I wanted to close out. I wanted to close out in the Mamba jerseys, do it for Kobe. We did win. We didn't get a chance to do it in the Mamba jerseys. But, you know, we still have a reason to celebrate. But it doesn't sit with me as badly as, like, a Ray Allen shot in 2013, where a thing I can't look at or think about or ever want to see, or I think about it all the time because it could have been another ring. We actually got the job done. It wasn't where we came up short. This is the first time in my career that I've scored in a closeout game on a championship. Because the other two games, I didn't score in Toronto. I don't know if I even got many shots up. I didn't score in Toronto.
Fred VanVleet was faking the back injury.
San Antonio and Toronto in a closeout games, I did not score. Now we're starting a new trend. Hopefully we can do better.
Yeah. But hopefully we have a new trend, but an old trend that we've had on the show is talking to Phil Handy.
Yes.
So we're going to do that next. Back-to-back champion Danny Green, back-to-back assistant coach champion Phil Handy. They've known each other for a long time, dated back to the D League.
Coming up next on Inside the Green Room.
So, Phil, obviously it's great to win a title. I know it must be real special to do it with Danny. What went through your mind when it was finally over and the first time you and Danny saw each other? Just take us through those emotions. The stress of daily life weighs on us all. Whether you're an elite athlete or a regular person just trying to get through the day, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing. That's where the Theragun comes in handy. The handheld therapy device releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And now, as quiet as an electric toothbrush. That's because the all-new Gen 4 Theragun has a brushless motor that's so quiet, you will wonder if it's on. While you soothe your aching muscles with Theragun's signature power, amplitude, and effectiveness. Whether you didn't get enough sleep after maybe, what, celebrating a Lakers championship? Or just getting back in the gym because you spent too much time during this quarantine taking Zoom calls. Theragun hits the spot. Try Theragun for 30 days, and there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power you need. Starting at only $199, go to Theragun.com/DG14 right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/DG14, Theragun.com/DG14. Now back to the show. We're back with more Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford. And we are pleased to be joined by the man who won a title last year with Danny. Back-to-back championship as a player, back-to-back championship as an assistant coach, Mr. Phil Handy. How you doing, sir, my friend?
Inside the Green Room, all is good, man. I appreciate you guys having me back.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been in the studio, man. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time,
but,
yeah.
I'm liking the new adjustments. I'm liking the new setup. This is dope.
Yeah, that's the technology.
You can actually look at them, too, here.
Yeah.
Technology is pretty dope, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it kind of speaks to where we are right now. Just winning this title is totally different from any other circumstance. What have you been up to since you guys won? Obviously, it's different than how you would have celebrated in Toronto, different how you celebrated in Cleveland.
Man, since we've been back, I really just kind of spent some time with my family. It's been, you know, trying to celebrate with them, trying to take in this part of the journey. And I've been spending some time with my son. So it's been real low key, man. I'm gonna just try to take this one a little bit slower than what I did in Toronto. I think I went a little too hard last year in Toronto.
Yeah, it's been a long year too, man. It's been a hell of a ride, roller coaster up and down. I don't think there'll ever be a season as long as this one. Just a roller coaster ride we had to get through, to get back home. I think guys are just excited to be out of the bubble, be home with their families, enjoy it, take it slow in the beginning, and then hopefully gradually be able to celebrate. And I think, you know, the fans, we would love to celebrate with the fans, hopefully get a parade at some point and celebrate with them the right way. But so right now we're taking our time and getting our bodies and minds healthy before we're able to actually really celebrate the way we want to.
Man, DJ, you hit it on the head. It was kind of weird when we left it.
Yeah.
When we left the bubble, it was like we celebrated in the bubble, had a little get together. Then it's, you get out of the bubble, and then it was like, what? Okay, what now?
Yeah.
so it's definitely a little bit different, right, than what we're used to.
For sure, especially because that night we had to leave the next morning early, so we didn't really have much time to recover. So that next day of flying, then we had to take a flight 5 hours back to LA. So we had a whole other day to recover. Everybody's ready, excited to see us. Like, we just got out. But it's like, yo, you just want to take a day to breathe and relax, or two, let your body heal. When I got off that plane, man, all the adrenaline wore off, all the injuries came back to life. I felt like a newborn baby deer, man. My legs was numb. I'm like, oh, I felt my hip, my Achilles, my whole body, like, damn, all the drugs and adrenaline wore off. So I was like, I needed a couple days before I celebrate. I was like, let's turn up, let's drink. I'm like, nah, I need a couple days. Let me just relax first and get some sleep.
Hey, Phil.
That's all right, man. It's a marathon, man.
For sure.
Not a sprint.
A marathon like no other. So, Phil, you guys touched on it briefly about the celebrations. You've seen Quinn Cook multiple years in the finals. what happened there? How did a player on a championship team get left? You're not responsible for that. Did you check somebody for that? What happened?
Hey, listen, man. Jason Kidd had to save me, or I would have got left. Because after all those bottles in the locker room, man, I was out in the hallway just kind of standing there. And Jay Kidd came and grabbed me and was like, Phil, come on, man, get on, you gotta get on the bus, man.
Yeah, because that would have been weird. That would have been crazy if we left two people.
Yeah.
QC, I feel like QC been a part of this. He should know. Go with the crowd. He's been doing this for some years. He got a
he
couple
should know
chips.
Better.
You better get on that bus, man.
Especially,
I guess the bubble experience is different. So it's new to him. If we actually catch a bus after, but we'll get back to the hotel. But
right.
Yeah, man, funny as hell. I'm like, what the hell? We left Q.
I would assume, and Danny and I have to talk about this, I would assume that Markieff was the championship celebration MVP.
Man, I didn't see Keith, but I saw the aftermath. I saw some of the videos, and for sure, no, Keith definitely went in.
I think he was unexpected. He's the most improved. I think the MVP always Swish is always MVP to me. That guy be on his lives. He be having everything going up. There's a couple guys that get after it.
Swish. We hadn't even, the game wasn't even over yet.
Yeah.
And he had his shirt off.
He was ready to go. He was ready to go, man. He's always my MVP, bro. Every celebration.
Oh,
Keith was the unexpected, most improved. He definitely was, you know, runner up. But Swish, man.
So Keith was like, he was like DeMarc Gasol?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like DeMarc Gasol.
DeMarc Gasol.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So, Phil, obviously, it's great to win a title. I know it must feel real special to do it with Danny. especially because you guys go way back to Reno in the D League, now obviously the G League. What went through your mind when it was finally over and the first time you and Danny saw each other? Just take us through those emotions, and then Danny, if you could follow up.
For sure.
Man, that's just like, I mean, we reunited in Toronto last year, and everything that we went through there. Me and Danny, I kind of texted him earlier when the playoffs started, just saying, man, you know, man, we have an opportunity to go back to back. You know, we have an opportunity to win, you know, championships on three different teams. And it was just like, man, let's lock in and get this done. Yeah. And so afterwards, man, yeah, all I see Danny was like back to back.
Yeah, man. So at that point, I think we were all just ready to get out of bubble. So we just put our head down, like, let's get it done. But yeah, from the years when we started in Reno, to see him, so we first saw him, or I saw him in sideline, he's in LA first time around. I was, you know, was happy for him to, you know, we all kind of, a lot of guys from that group had made it and you know,
got to the league,
you know, took a step up. And then from there, I seen how successful he was in Cleveland. And then we got a chance to unite in Toronto for the first time. And we got something special to happen. And then as soon as he got to LA, I was excited, man. I know we got an opportunity to do something special again. But obviously the year was crazy, up and down. It's in pandemic, COVID. Had to be in a bubble, and just being in that bubble could make you go crazy. But we still never lost focus of the goal, man. And he kept texting me every day, like, yo, D, just stay locked in. We do this. You get this done. We have a chance to repeat, man. Just do these little details. You know, we can get this done. And, you know, that's what kind of got me through, you know, mentally through the bubble and focusing and locking in on the team. So, and then when it was all said and done, man, it was all worth it. And we got a chance to actually, you know, enjoy and experience and be free and be home now. But now we get a chance to enjoy our back-to-back, three different teams, and be in the same city again. And hopefully, you know, bring back a group next year to be able to do something special again.
Yes, sir.
Coming up next on Inside the Green Room.
Regardless of what happened, Danny was almost always trending. What did you tell him? Because you have Instagram, you have Twitter, you see it. So, Phil, obviously, as somebody who's a friend of Danny's but also covering the team, I monitor basketball Twitter, specifically Lakers Twitter. And watching what happened during the course of these playoffs, you know how it goes because you were in Cleveland with LeBron. The teammates of LeBron James, there's a certain level of criticism or attention that they're going to get because LeBron is an attention magnet. And then add on the fact that Danny's playing with the Lakers. Danny would miss one shot to start the game and be trending on Twitter. It'd be out of control. Now, granted, Danny didn't always play well, but there are games that he did play well. But regardless of what happened, Danny was almost always trending. No more trending than game five after he missed the opportunity to close the series. What happened between you guys in terms of conversations, and what did you tell him? Because you have Instagram, you have Twitter, you see it. You can't ignore it. What was the conversations like, considering you guys have such a tight bond?
Nah, man, there's no conversation to be had except for we do what we do. Mm-hmm. Danny gets his work in. We after games, you know, we had a pretty good routine with him and KCP, and we get our shots in, we get our work in, and man, we don't pay attention to the outside noise.
Yeah.
And I think that my message, you know, to Danny is we always keep working and we do what we do, but his impact on the game is more than shooting. And, you know, that's what people don't realize. And so my message to our fans or whatever was like, you either with us or against us.
Yeah.
We don't give up on family.
Yeah.
And so, man, we ride through all the storms that we go through, and look at us now.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. This show is brought to you by Jack in the Box. Order your favorites like Jumbo Jacks, Curly Fries, or Two Tacos all day, every day using their mobile app, drive-thru, or delivery.
Yeah, it makes me think of, you know what it makes me think of? When we had KCP in here, and he talked about how the criticism that he was getting, it actually, he was able to rise above it, and you see how well he performed. So, you know, seeing what happened there and seeing how you responded in game six, I'm sure was welcoming to see.
For sure, man. It's just a thing I feel like he's been used to it. He's so conditioned to it, which is crazy. You should never be conditioned to something that, like that in that type of aspect or in this world. But that's something we're used to because we've gotten it all year. Mm-hmm. You know, it can't get any worse. And, you know, we just ignore it. At this point, you know, we're trending for always something.
Always so, trending.
You know, we just
always
we're
trending.
Just so used to it. It's like, all right, we just move on to the next thing. So it doesn't affect us as much anymore. It doesn't wait for us anymore. So we're just like, you know, we go in next game confidently, not shaken, not worried or concerned. We believed in our group. We knew we can get it done. We knew that we would bounce back and our whole group would get bounce back because, you know, we're angry. Not just from the individual, but from a team aspect of the criticism we're getting. And from the beginning, how much they doubted us, you know, how much they put us behind everybody else and how much they thought we weren't going to be good enough or didn't have enough of this, enough of that. And I still feel like there's still more room for growth. We're going to celebrate this one now while we can and enjoy it and relax a little bit for the fall and winter, you know, weird off season.
Weird off season. Yeah. But good for you guys. You should be able to have holiday season with the family more than ever, right?
Yep, so Thanksgiving that's and Christmas.
Yeah.
But, I had a question, Phil, man. I know you've been, said you were three different teams as well. I've been three different teams. Outside of the talent, what made this one special to you, winning this one?
Oh. Ooh. I started with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. This was the beginning of my NBA career.
Okay.
And I remember when I left the first time, I always said that, I'm gonna come back here in a different role, a different position, and I wanna be able to compete for a championship.
For sure.
And to be able to see this come to fruition, I mean, for all of us, man, you know, our relationship with Kobe, you know, just all the things that we've had to deal with, man, just to see you guys come together. Mm-hmm. In a short amount of time, the camaraderie, it's pretty special.
For sure. And I think the other question I had was, I know you had some special groups. What made this group different from the others? Or what made this group, I wouldn't say more special, but in a different category to you than the other groups? I know you had different bonds with Toronto team.
Yeah.
You had different bonds in Cleveland. Even the teams that you didn't win on, you had different bonds. But what made this group special to you?
I think there's always storylines for different guys mm-hmm. that are want the pursuit of winning a championship. So you look at Rondo, mm-hmm. hadn't been a champion for a while. Dwight, his story of being a Laker, you know, not going so well the first time. Now he comes back. You know, Markieff, Jared Dudley, you know, all these guys have been in the league for a long time. Yeah, and that's the ultimate, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes it special for me, dude. Just to see guys like that be able to be a part of this and win championships.
For sure. And I think for me, like you said, I think what makes it special for me is the fact that I've never been a teammate of any of these guys except for Bron. And I've competed against them for so many years. I've been in the league for 10, 11 years, and some of them in college. I played against Duds when he was at Boston College. Duds used to kick our ass in Boston College. He used to be able to be on a team with him, Doe, Dwight, these guys that I've played against since high school, since college. I haven't been a teammate of them since JR. Even JR was a Tri-State area. We haven't ever been teammates. We always competed against each other. To be able to be on the same team with those guys and experience this as a group because we have so much level of respect for each other. And guys have achieved so many different things outside of each other or outside of this group, mm-hmm. and we're able to come together and do it, you know, as an experienced veteran group. I think what made it special for me because I was able to play alongside guys that I never got a chance to know personally, but I've known them over years just by competing with them. But to be teammates and call them brothers, but also to win one with them, made it very special, man. Because these guys I had so much respect for before I even got a chance to play with them because I played against them and they were so good in their younger days, and they're still good now, but in their younger days. Killers, man, and you had nothing but respect for them. But now I got a chance to team up with them and make something special in a city where it means a lot, especially because of the things that I've gone through this year and because of the legacies we're trying to carry on.
Lake Show, Laker Nation, mm-hmm. these fans are serious, man.
Yeah. For sure.
They don't play, man.
For sure.
I respect that. But, you know, and I'm the type of dude, I'll be going back at these people, son.
Yeah.
But their passion for wanting to bring that legacy back to L.A., that's also special, too.
Definitely.
For sure.
And it takes a lot for us to be professional sometimes, man. Like I said, you go back at them. But there's days where I'm like, you know what? People be challenging me to a shoot. You know what? Let's get a gym. Y'all don't talk to Let's get into a gym. I don't care. I'll take your lunch money. I don't care if it's $5. We'll do a shooting contest for everybody
Let's
out
get
there
it.
Talking that shit.
Let's get it.
I'll take your lunch money.
Let's get it. That's what I'm talking about.
So, but a lot of times, you know, you got to take the high road, keep it moving. Like, all right, I'm just going to ignore this and keep it going. But there'll be some days, man.
When the world opens up, we'll just do like an outdoor three-point competition.
They don't got to open up. They don't got to open up. It'll be closed. We'll find a location.
We'll get some shooting competition. We can get to it right now.
Well, part of the reason why the Lakers fan base is so passionate is particularly this year because of the passing, unfortunately, of Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, I know when you won in Cleveland, when you won in Toronto, Kobe's one of the first phone calls you would make in the locker room. Who did you call this time, and what did it mean to you?
It was kind of crazy, man. I called my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I always call my family. But the weirdest one this year, I just happened to be standing next to Danny. I got a text from somebody. It was like a 647 number. And I was like, I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
He texted me. He was like, it's Drizzy. So right then, I FaceTimed him. And me and Danny, we sat there and chopped it up with the six guy. And we're just talking about how much, you know, we
back
missed
to back.
Toronto.
He made the song. You
back
know
to back.
Yeah. Yep.
So that one was a little unique this year, man, to be able to get on the phone with Drake.
Yeah.
That's
me and Danny and just chop it up.
It was like 4 a.m, too. Like, he was in Toronto at the time, like 3, 4 a.m. I'm surprised he was up. He just had a fresh cut. We was chopping, talking a little, shooting the shit a little bit. We're talking about back to back, you know what I'm saying? It was dope. It was dope to talk to him and actually, you know, see him during that time and congratulate us and all that. So it was great, man. We're still waiting to get back to the city to get our Toronto ring. It's crazy we'll get our LA ring before we get our Toronto ring.
Man. Hey, that's all right, D. We could just,
for sure,
just keep collecting this hardware,
for
man.
For sure. Coming up next on Inside the Green Room, the coaches were not able to have family members in the bubble. And you didn't have your little one there, man. I'm wondering what's the first thing he did when they saw you.
There's been some commentary, Phil, and you've known LeBron for a long time. You've worked out with him privately. You obviously were coaching him in Cleveland. There's been some commentary that people have seen from LeBron, especially because he played career low minutes per game, that he could be getting better, maybe going into his 18th season, as somebody who's watched him on a daily basis. Where do you see his game going?
Man, absolutely. Bron is just a rare breed, man. And I think he's one of those type of dudes that's going to try to find a way, not try. He's going to find a way to come back an even better player next season.
Yeah, it's crazy to me how the biggest thing I learned, how he takes care of his body. And that's what makes him superhuman, different breed to me, because at the age he's doing, the age he's at, and he's how effective and how healthy and how, you know, he stays, he plays every game. You know what I'm saying? We might give him a game off during regular season, but he could play every game. He plays at a high level, no injuries, and wakes up the next day, you know, just with a bounce, you know, like sprightly. You know what I'm saying? You know, most guys, after playing 30, 40 minutes, we're like dragging ass through the hallways. And I'm like, dude, how do you have so much energy? What's up, shooter? What's up, dude? You know what I'm saying? He's got all this energy. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Well, you're 35, I'm 32, 33, I'm 33. And I'm like, yo, my body, I'm ready to get up out of here. And he just keeps going. 17 seasons, I'm at 11. I mean, obviously, did 4 years of college, but 11, 12 for me. And I'm like, yo, 17 seasons, 18 seasons, he always finds a way to take care of his body and have his body ready. Because mentally, he's always getting better. He's always studying the game. He's getting stronger. He's getting smarter.
Yes.
But physically, you know, he's making sure his body is right and is healthy. And shout out to all the trainers that took care of us this year and also takes care of him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were worried about where he was and his game and his health. And not only did he play well, but he played well in the longest season ever.
For sure.
Which is just madness when you think about it.
I had a question, man, because I know it was just interesting to me. I know you got a chance to call your family. But it was crazy to me that the coaches were not able to have family members in the bubble at all. And the first time they were able to see him, I saw Coach Vogel see his daughters and his wife for the first time at the bridge, and they like got to meet. It was just a special moment for him, and I got to see it was a warming, heartfelt moment, you know. So I was so happy for him and for you guys. I know you guys weren't, some of y'all didn't have families there, Miles, and you didn't have your little one there, man. I'm wondering, what's the first thing he did, you did, or they did when they saw you? And did you get any footage or record it of, you know, your first interaction of seeing him?
No, man, my family just very supportive. Mm-hmm. And so I went there with the mindset, D, this is not really the place to bring your family. Mm-hmm. And so I was just ready to thug it out.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to him every day. Everybody was just showing love and you know, trying to keep me in it mentally. But my son, he just, first thing he said when I got back was, "Where's the trophy?"
That's all he wanted. That's all he cared about.
Hey, he didn't even say, "Dad, I miss you." Yeah. He said, "Where's the trophy at?"
That's hilarious. I talked to KCP just yesterday because we had a little team get together. He said he's got the most love in the last 2 days, and he's got, because his boys are mama's boys. They're always with his mom. He's got the most love in the last 2 days since they've been alive. You know, he got to sleep in the top bunk with him the next day, and the other one in the bottom bunk, and they've been with him since they be waiting for him to get out the shower, you know, waiting for him to get out the bath. They've just been by his side the whole time. So I was just wondering, like, how, you know, certain kids interact or react to when, you know, they haven't seen their parents in so long, man. But that's special. That's amazing. But you're young in there. I already know he's a hooper. He don't care about nothing but hooping, getting that hardware. I want to see the trophy. I want to see the gold. I want to see the jewelry.
Man, that's it, DG. Yeah. That's it.
Speaking of which, and before, Phil, before we let you go, not only did you coach or help coach the Lakers to their first title in a while, and it's your back-to-back championship, but you also were potentially coaching up future champions. A couple of viral clips of you this past during the bubble, teaching up Jared Dudley's son.
The little Lakers,
the
man.
The little Lakers.
Little Cheese, little Duds. Little Pierre.
That's how you know he had time on his hand. Yeah. He teaching the youngins.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, all four of those kids are just like their dads.
Yeah, exactly.
In some kind of way.
Yeah.
Spitting image. Yeah. I mean, little Doe.
Yeah.
David is just like Dwight.
Yep.
He want to foul everybody. Don't think he fouling. Hey, little Doe. He wanted to negotiate and argue everything. Little Cheese. When he get the rock, he not passing. and then you get little Dust.
Yeah, little Juju.
Hey, Juju scored a bucket, was running down the court.
Yeah, talking his trash, like his dad, man. Talking fast, you know, hyping up, got the energy, man, just like his dad, man.
Amazing kids, man.
Yeah.
And before I let you go, I'd be remiss to not mention Rob Pelinka. And Danny and I were talking about him previously. He chose to bring you here, a part of the decision to bring you here.
Should have been executive of the year.
That's a popular opinion. At the same time, Phil, what did it mean to you to see Rob there in the bubble? And, you know, we've seen other team executives that were in the bubble, but Rob was, he wasn't just in the bubble. It felt like he was a part of the coaching staff, how much he was involved. What did that mean to you? And can you just reflect on him being very hands-on during this historic season?
Well, it certainly didn't feel like he was a GM. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rob would get on the court and rebound. Mm-hmm. He was contesting shots. I just really felt like he was fully invested in just doing whatever he could to help make it successful.
Yeah.
On and off the court. And his relationship with Kobe just plays a big part into how important this was for him as well.
For sure. And you could tell he embraced that to the full, man. And he was 100% supportive of me and everybody else around us when we had struggles. And big shout out to him, man. He showed a lot of love and support. He never gave up on us. But he was in there daily. He said rebounding and contesting shots. He's a big part of the reason why we mentally got through it. But I said he deserved executive of the year, not just because of things he did, you know, with making moves and picking up, but it said how invested he was. And I think a part of that was because of missing Kobe a little bit too. But, you know, he's been involved since day one. He's been super about this team. Everything is about this team, and he put it all into his team, and it showed of how he worked from day in, day out, make sure the trainers were giving us everything we need, and celebrate. Even when he celebrated, he hit every, you know, all energy into it, so relieved and happy. And I was happy for him, man, that, you know, he got it done. They got it done quick. The work that him and Bron and Magic before he left put in, Genie, to put this group together in such a short span of time to get it done within 2 years is amazing, man. But big shout out to them. They were a great, hell of support system for us. And so Bron was truly 100% embraced the role of being a part of the crew. And I said, I know him not having Kobe around as much, you know, we were hoping to be there for him as well. But I know we, you know, him taking his mind off things and being able to be on the court for us was probably big for him. But he doesn't know how much that helped us, you know, with me, KCP, and everybody else around us to mentally get through that bubble.
All right.
Yeah. All right, Phil, we're going to let you go here. And as we've done, apparently it's a tradition here at Inside the Green Room. Yeah. Every season that we've decided to have Phil on the show, we end up winning. Now, guaranteed, we only done two seasons so far. But you know what that means. You got to come back next season and hop on the set. And we have to, right?
Let's go.
Yeah, we have to, man.
Let's go.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 2 years. We got two chips. We got to get a third year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, appreciate you,
I'm
Phil,
with
man.
My family, man. Let's do it.
For sure. Indeed. Appreciate you, Phil, joining us, man. Much
appreciate
love always, man.
Love.
Enjoy to celebrate as much as you can, but also relax as much as you can. Enjoy this fall, winter, off season, which will be interesting. But I'm sure we'll be back, you know, soon with more stuff from you and everybody else. Hopefully get some other guys on the show. But enjoy the off season, man. Hope to see you soon.
Keep being
all love, champ.
Yeah. Keep being your own goat, brother.
Man, all day, every day.
Yes, sir. Coming up next on Inside the Green Room.
You've played with a very good Hall of Fame big man in Tim Duncan. Where do you see AD going, and how do you evaluate where he is now? We're back with more Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford. Appreciate you guys tuning in throughout the entirety of the year, a very, very long year for the both of us. We've been doing this podcast, as Danny alluded to earlier in the show, for 2 years. I must say, and I commend you, when I went back to New York, when you guys were playing against the Nuggets, mm-hmm. it was game five, a game you played well in. I think you had heard that there was some health concerns in my family. Mm-hmm. And before game five, Danny's playing a closeout game. He texts me and wishes me well. So stand up, dude. Happy to see you win.
Make sure you're good, man. Make sure my people are good, man.
Well, yeah, I was like, if Danny finds out, he'll hit me after the game. I'm like, you got things to work. You got things to focus on.
Basketball is basketball. Other stuff is more important in the real world. Obviously, basketball, it's important to us.
Yeah.
There's so many other things going on in the real world that's way more important, man. Family, health issues, pandemic, make sure everybody's good first. Basketball is just a basketball game.
For sure. This year, and I've watched your entire career, it's probably the first time where you were as wide open as you've ever been without touching the ball necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you, and you talked about it publicly, think the offense, your offense in particular, and as a team, you guys could even get better. It's year one.
For sure. I told people I think we could, we're barely scratching the surface of how good this team could be. Offensively, I think, you know, we're just still figuring each other. We had so much talent. Like I said, we had so many guys that were so good that could do so many things. It's hard to figure out for the coaching staff who to put where, how to run this and keep it consistent. And obviously, you know, you got LeBron and AD. You know, those guys, those efficient scorers, why would you not give them the ball every time as much as you can? So we had to figure out, we could do a better job of figuring out how to work around them. Defensively, we said we have monsters inside the paint, protecting the rim, JaVale, Dwight, AD. And outside, we have so many guards that can guard the ball and make things happen that if our offense reaches that, you know, that level, you know, we could definitely, you know, repeat. And I think we haven't had a problem doing it if we play that well.
Yeah, I think the sky's really the limit. In order, though, to reach that, guys have to come back.
For sure.
I'm going to run you through some scenarios here, what's at least happened so far. Obviously, AD opted out of his player option. KCP opted out. Rondo opted out. We don't know what's going to happen with Markieff. Remember, he was signed in the middle of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Myriad of situations. We don't know if Dwight Howard's coming back. Avery Bradley has a player option. With all those scenarios happening, obviously Jared was on a one-year deal. What conversations, you've seen the guys, and you've been on championship rosters before that weren't able to win the next year. How do you handle the conversations that you have with them? Obviously, you guys want to run it back, and you want to run it back in front of fans. How do you manage those conversations?
It's tough, man, because at the end of the day, you know the business. And it's a sticky business at times. But at this point in their careers, most guys, I think they just want to win. And I think a lot of them want to run it back, and we'll try to figure out a way to come back. But if there's teams out there that give them an offer they can't refuse, it's hard to not take those offers. So by any means, I respect it. I understand it. If you have to go elsewhere for you and your family, you know, to thrive in your career or to make more money, I get it. And some guys may get those offers that, you know, they might take them away. A lot of guys, they put their dues in, they've won their ring, you know, and the reward is coming. So, but I think a lot of those guys are still wanting to come back. Now, if I had to guess, I think a lot of them opted out in terms of trying to come back to make things work, but just for a better situation for them and for the organization, for the team.
You played with some pretty good bigs in the span of your career. Obviously, Tim Duncan is at the higher tier
for
of
sure.
that, all of that. But where do you see AD going, and how do you evaluate where he is now? There's so many things that he did well this year, but I'm, as somebody who's a student of the game, it's crazy how much better he can get, I would assume.
For sure. And if he keeps going the way he's going, I think he could be right up there with Timmy. And Timmy was never really a three-point shooter, or, you know, he shot outside decently, but he was never outside shooter. But because of the way the game is going, and because he's able to play outside and inside and stretch, that aspect of the game brings him to another level, another tier, and able to, you know, jump to levels, you know, a lot quicker than or sooner than other guys can.
In the history of the NBA, Anthony Davis might go down as the first ever center who you're comfortable with hitting and taking game-winning threes.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I've seen Timmy just take some. Guys have taken them, hit them, but I think it was a last resort type of thing, and it was like, oh, he made it, you know, type of thing. Instead of, you know, why is AD wide open? Because, you know, if AD's open behind a three-point line, it's like, why the hell did you leave him open? Because he's a shooter, and he's good at it, and it's expected for him to hit those shots. The other bigs back then weren't expected to hit shots, so he's definitely one of the guys I think everybody's expected or comfortable taking any game-winning shot wherever it's at in the court.
I think we're going to go here. Before we do that, though, I know we will still tape some episodes of the show. I think we have a special series where we're going to address social justice matters, special series that we're going to do with a couple guys in the league. So I'm looking forward to doing that. But for the most part, you will be taking a vacation, as
hopefully.
as you should. Where are you going? Are you gonna let people know?
No. You'll see me when you see me. You'll see when I'm there. If I post it, then you'll see I'm there. But as of right now, the way things were going, nobody really has set plans cemented because of the pandemic. But I do plan to get out, and I said you'll see it when I post it, or I'll show you.
Have you sent in, are you going to do what, some mail-in voting? Are you going to potentially go to Staples Center and meet Lakers fans there
I
and vote?
I possibly might.
We should do that.
We might go to the Staples Center and vote. That might be a good thing, as I might not take my vacation until after that. But, yeah, we can get, whether I'm at, I might go to the nearest location, voting poll at the arena, and, you know, try to get people out there as best I can.
Salute you and the entire team for being on point with your social justice messages and things that you guys feel were right or should be corrected in society, at the same time representing Lakers fans and winning a title. And now the rest that you are about to get, I would say, and I think Lakers fans would agree, well-deserved.
Thank you. Appreciate you, sir.
Shout out to everybody who's watched us through the entirety of the year. I think the real cool thing about what we're doing with the show, Danny, is that if you are a Laker fan and you really care about the guys who are on the court, yeah, we haven't really interviewed LeBron or AD yet. That might be coming. But you got to know the guys, the ins and outs, their personalities, what really made them tick, from Avery Bradley to KCP to Dwight Howard, Jared Dudley, JaVale McGee.
Great guys, man. I think Caruso.
Alex Caruso was in here with the studio. I think we pretty much got all the guys outside of Doe, AD, and LeBron.
Keith.
Right? And
We got Keith.
And we didn't do Coach Vogel yet, so that's still on the table.
For sure.
Appreciate you guys for tuning in. I hope you were able to enjoy the journey, the long journey that it was to eventually get to this point where he's a champ, Lakers are champions, and this podcast is certified as cannot be stopped.
We're all champions. All the fans, you guys are champions too. So, yeah.
Indeed. I'll let you say the last words. Anything else?
Nope. thank you guys for a hell of a year, man. It's been great. Hopefully we can do this again, have a lot of fun, repeat. But inside the green room, LA, Lakers, fan base, the whole city, the community has been amazing and welcoming us and having a lot of fun. Spectrum, been yes. amazing. Thank you guys so much. Big shout out to all of my sponsors, Puma.
Just drop all the sponsors now too. And everybody. Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box, of course, yeah. man.
Oh, so now with that being said, now that we're going to take the show off and you're no longer training and stuff like that, you should go ham on a Jack in the Box.
I might.
Get every single thing that's on the menu.
I have an extreme cheat day lined up. I have an ultimate cheat day lined up for myself and you guys. So I'm bringing you guys along too. I'm not going to do it by myself. But yeah.
don't drag me down with you.
Cheat day.
While you were in the bubble working out, a lot of people.
You've been lean. You deserve yourself a cheat day. You look like you've been doing okay. You have one cheat day in a pandemic, you'd be all right. We'll get you back in the gym. Don't worry. We got a gym for you. The day after.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Another episode of Inside the Green Room. We'll be back just more sporadically throughout the offseason.